Today our text for the sermon is the gospel reading that was just read in particular. When Bartimaeus cries out, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And also, in the Old Testament reading, verses 8 and 9, but in particular verse 9, "With weeping they shall come, and with pleas of mercy I will lead them back." God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today we hear that Christ continually gives mercy to those who were blinded by sin. That Christ continues to give mercy to those who cry out, "Lord, have mercy on me." Well, believe it or not, it's that time of year when parents begin to ask their children, "What is it that you want for Christmas?" So as to stay ahead of parents, our benevolent and all-knowing and all-encompassing government spokesperson for the day, if you hadn't heard, earlier this week said, "Don't expect to get everything you want for Christmas. You need to lower your expectations." Thanks, Grinch. Blind Bartimaeus was probably told this his whole life. Don't expect too much. You're blind, you're poor, you need to lower your expectations in life. That's your lot. But today, even though he was poor, even though he was destitute, did not have a penny to spend on gifts of any kind, it turns out today, we hear, he indeed had the most treasured gift of all. Faith that calls to Christ and continually receives mercy from him. For Christ continually gives mercy to those who are blinded by sin. And remember what St. Paul says, faith comes by hearing. Bartimaeus had heard. The Holy Spirit had planted in him faith, not some faith in a generic God, but a God who gives. For when Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, his faith spoke. His faith cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus had faith that though he was blind, he had better sight than all of those who gathered round him, because he had faith that confessed Jesus as the one who has mercy to give. But Bartimaeus, they said, don't get too excited. Be silent. Your expectations are too high. And it's funny, because in looking down on Bartimaeus, they were really looking down upon God. They had low expectations of who Jesus was and what he could do. "Don't bother him, Bartimaeus. Don't you know who you are? Don't you know that not even the prophets in the Old Testament could cure blindness? Don't bother the teacher." And that was the case with this particular miracle. The prophets were able to heal leprosy. They could begin, they could end famines. They could even raise people from the dead. However, blindness, the healing of blindness, this was a miracle only reserved for the Messiah. Jeremiah said in our Old Testament today, "Behold, I will bring them from the north country. I will gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame." Isaiah 35:5, "The Lord will return, then the eyes of the blind will be opened." At least four times alone in the book of Isaiah, the prophet connects healing of the blind with the presence of God himself. Jesus, after his baptism, you remember, he went to the synagogue. He read from the prophet Isaiah. He read this passage. "He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Giving sight to the blind was a big deal, because that was a miracle reserved only for the Messiah. Bartimaeus knew this. Blindness was especially a sign of slavery, imprisonment, our captivity to sin. And although Bartimaeus was physically blind, he saw what everyone else around him was blind to. Jesus was the very Son of David, the one who could do something about his need for mercy. But then also, he also knew Jesus could do something about his blindness. And Bartimaeus would not be quiet because he knew Jesus could do something about the captivity to sin that all those around him could not see. Though they had eyesight, they were blind. They did not have faith that Jesus was the Son of God who came to set us free from sin, to set us free from doubt and sadness, to set us free from unmet expectations. But they turned to Bartimaeus and said, "Bartimaeus, your expectations are too high." What about all the blind people around Bartimaeus? What were their expectations? Well, I guess I can't really say. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But maybe they just thought Jesus was a great rabbi. But their lack of faith and blindness as to who Jesus was speaks volumes, for they did not ask of anything from Jesus. They did not want mercy. And I guess we're more like them than we would like to admit. Especially the spirit of the age we find ourselves in. Blindness to things that are obvious. Blinded by chaos and unbelief, so much so that we even have to speak to what a man and a woman is. What marriage is. That there is a blindness to creation itself. We must remember that God tells us that we should not be blind to the facts of creation. That we are made in the image of God, male and female. He made them, and you yourself are a treasure. You are not some arbitrary arrangement of DNA and molecules randomly chanced together. No, you have an identity in Christ. You were baptized with a particular name and identity given to you by God. He knit you together in the womb of your mother, not your birth person. Men and boys, girls and women, we are unique. And we complement one another so perfectly that God blesses this uniqueness with the gift of life. That children are not born to two men any more than two bulls can make a calf. It's written in nature. Our very bodies, the chaos, the blindness of our age, is a blindness even to Genesis. God made them male and female. And this is a blindness, an intentional blindness, to who God is and His authority. Expectations are too high for us when we think we can rebel against nature. And let's take this a step further. We might be able to scoff and laugh at the world gone mad that refuses to acknowledge what it means to be male and female. But then aren't we also blind to God's law, written in His Word for our benefit as to the role of male and female? We as Christians, we know the difference between men and women in the anatomy department, but do we know the differences in our roles as male and female according to God's Word? In our own homes, in our church, or is the world right? There are no differences. Women can be pastors. Men can be mothers. Are we like the blind crowd that we have found ourselves surrounded by, just on a different level? Have we as the church of God lived according to what it means to be male and female? Have we celebrated our differences, embraced our relationships with one another? Or have we despised these roles? The truth of the matter is that God foretold this. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, He said first, the desire for the woman would be that she'd rule over her husband. Then for Adam, his curse was that he wasn't going to want to be the leader. He was going to want to sit back and be lazy. He would not want to give his life for his wife. What are our expectations for one another? Men, married or not, should not be lazy, but should be leaders. They should lead their households first, teaching the faith as the most important thing in life, not just an additional add-on. Not only with words, but also by actions. For by leading your family, or even if you are single, leading your church and friends to see Christ, you are giving them eyesight to see clearly in a blind world. Paul tells the Corinthians, he says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. To Timothy, Paul writes, but as for you, O man of God, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. And then also for women, the Bible warns and says not to be gossips, but to be loving and supportive of their families as God gives them the ability. They should follow their husbands and encourage them to teach the faith in the home. And if you have no family, with your family here at church. Proverbs 31 says, strength and dignity are her clothing. She opens her mouth with wisdom. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Is it your expectation just to know how to be a Christian? What need then is there for us to study and hear God's word? Is it your expectation to just know God's will, that your will aligns perfectly with His? Or perhaps you don't think about what God's will is for your life. In what other circumstances in life does that work? If you want to be a mechanic, you need to be taught. If you want to excel as a football player, you need to practice. But for some reason, when it comes to our Christian walk in life, we think that might, well, that just comes naturally. We don't need to try. But what did Bartimaeus do? Immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Bartimaeus followed Jesus on his way because Jesus was on his way to his cross. And so let that be us also. For Bartimaeus was already on the way with Jesus when he begs for mercy. Let that be our prayer too. For being a man of God, a woman of God, we must first begin with receiving mercy. We don't just need eyesight. We don't just need advice. First, we need mercy. Not just once, but daily. Mercy for the forgiveness of our sins. For sin, it will blind you. It will cloud your judgment. And this is why we're told to avoid sin. Sin will handicap you. We are told to turn from temptation because sin in our lives, us actively sinning, or the sins of others against us, will blind us if not addressed. Hate can be a slow simmer. repentance and asking Jesus and one another for mercy, that's the answer. For this incident with Bartimaeus isn't just a one-time deal, but see Bartimaeus' healing as a pattern for your everyday life. For what day is there that you don't need mercy? Mercy from God. What day is there that we can't help but be led astray by the culture around us and our own sinful flesh and the devil setting traps for us everywhere we try to step? For we who have blinded ourselves. Well, as Christ stopped for Bartimaeus on his way to the cross, Christ stops also for you. So not only do we see a pattern for every day of our life in Bartimaeus, but you must see a pattern of life for Christ for you. For as often as you sin, He stops and gives you mercy. Not just once, but His blood shed on the cross, it cleanses you. As often as you've sinned, as often as you've been disappointed, as often as your expectations haven't been met or have had unrealistic expectations, Jesus is there for you with mercy. For as His sight was blurred by the blood He shed for your sins from that crown of thorns put on His head, as He hung on the cross, His circulation slowing, not even reaching His eyes, and as His organs shut down, He closed His eyes in death. The real blindness that we all know is coming. A darkness brought on by our own sins. But my friends, that darkness did not win. For you know that as you look at Bartimaeus, you see an Easter picture. You see that Jesus' eyes opened again, that Easter never to be closed again. For Christ not only cures blindness, but death itself. Your blindness will not claim you. We certainly remember when Paul was on the road to Emmaus, when Paul was on the road to Damascus. He was blinded when he met with Jesus. He had scales over his eyes, and he was blinded until he was baptized. And the scales were removed from his eyes. That's what baptism has done for you. What else would you expect from a merciful God who heals blindness? And that's what Bartimaeus knew. That's what he expected. That Jesus could do what no doctor, no prophet, not even by his own reason or strength, could generate: mercy, forgiveness. Lord, have mercy on me. And he regained his sight. Lower your expectations? Well, we've all been there. Like Clark Griswold, who instead of the Christmas bonus received the Jelly of the Month Club. His expectations, well, they were too high. Let us not have too low expectations of Jesus. Don't be afraid to stand up, to be a man of God, to be a woman of God. Don't be afraid to stand up in a blind world and be faithful in your vocation where Christ has placed you. For you have eyesight that not even death will take away. Be a man of God, a woman of God, but most of all, be a beggar of God, who not only asks for mercy, but also gives that mercy to one another. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.